Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome to the latest episode of the Five on the Floor podcast. I'm Ethan Skolnick. Also, check out all the other podcasts in our network. 3 Yards Per Carry, Five Rings, Canes, Fantasy on Five, Ballscast, Light Skinned Opinions, and more. And check out our free website, no paywall. You get frustrated by a paywall? We don't have one. Five Reasons Sports, that's spelled out, fivereasonsports.com. As I'm going to mention here later on the podcast, we've got a watch party coming up at Duffy's in North Miami Beach. It's our fourth watch party there, and that's going to be for Heat and Rockets on Wednesday night, the 27th. Before we get to today's episode, I want to tell you about one of the great new sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network that you're probably familiar with them. East Coast Public Adjusters wants you to know there's only 10 months left to open your Irma claim. Call now before it's too late. 855-GET-ECPA. That's 855-GET-ECPA. You have a leaky roof, experiencing plumbing issues. These problems are most likely covered by your insurance policy. So don't settle for less. For a free no-obligation inspection, that's a free no-obligation inspection, call East Coast Public Adjusters. They've been in business for 31 years, since 1988, as long as the Miami Heat have been alive. Here's their number again, 855-GET-ECPA, or visit the website ecpaclaims.com. Their knowledgeable staff standing by to answer all of your questions. And now, today's Five on the Floor.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a Miami Heat and NBA podcast from Ethan Skolnick with Alphon Sidney, a.k.a. Alf954. Brought to you by the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, Ethan Skolnick back today. No Alphon Sidney, no Alex Toledo. They will be back with me on podcast as the week progresses. And before we record this, just want to let you know we're doing this prior to Friday night. So this is prior to the Sixers facing the Spurs, prior to the Heat in Chicago facing the Bulls. But wanted to bring on a good friend of mine in the business and one of the real NBA experts that you guys have followed the past few years. You can find him at ESPN. He's based up in the Northeast now, so does some Sixer games and follows them quite a bit. Tim Bontemps. Tim, thanks for joining me.
Anytime, Ethan. How you doing, man?
Doing well. Doing well. I think I'm a little surprised at where these two teams stand at this stage. As the Heat face the Sixers on Saturday night. And what is, I think for the Heat, they had their game at L.A. against the Lakers in the last game of a road trip. Didn't go particularly well. Tired legs. To me, this has been the game that Heat fans have kind of been looking at since the schedule came out, mostly because of Jimmy Butler. And I think the same for the Sixer fans as well, particularly because Jimmy's going back up there. I thought the Heat would be a 3 or 4 seed in the Eastern Conference. I was one of the few who believed that. I think Zach Lowe, a couple of others, some like our friend Mark Stein, looked at me like I was insane. I thought they'd be a 3 or 4 seed in the East. But I did not think, honestly, that at this stage, and this is the case regardless of what happens Friday night with the two teams, that the Heat would have a better record than the Sixers right now. You've seen the Sixers. Where do they stand putting this new group together?
I mean, it's kind of a complicated equation to put together, right? Like, I thought Miami would be in the top five in the East. I thought the teams that are in the top five now, Milwaukee, Boston, Miami, Toronto, and Philly, in some order, would be the five best teams in the East pretty comfortably if they were healthy this season. But look, I mean, the Sixers are 9-5 going into tonight's game. I'm going to pull up their schedule while I'm talking to you. I'm pretty sure the five games they've lost by a combined 10 or 15 points. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Yeah, 10. Yeah, they lost one game badly in Orlando, but The other, there was a 2-point loss, a 3-point loss, an overtime loss, and a 5-point loss, and all of them were on the road. So, mm-hmm. I mean, they've had some ups and downs. Their offense has been clunkier than I anticipated. But then again, they also have barely had their starting lineup on the floor together. When they have it on the floor together, they've been unbelievable. And as the year goes along, I think they're going to come together just fine. So, you know, there have been some bumps in the road early. In the last few weeks, they have lost more games than I expected. But I still think at the end of the day, their ceiling is as high as anybody in the league if they could put it all together.
All right, so I'm looking at net ratings. You mentioned the scores they've lost by, and I'm looking at net ratings. This, again, goes into Friday night. The Heat are third in the NBA right now behind the Lakers and the Bucks. I think even Heat fans were surprised about that at plus 7.8.
Yeah, I would hope the Heat fans would be surprised by this.
Well,
Heat
cocky,
playing
cocky,
like a top five team.
Cocky Heat fan is back, okay, Tim?
That so is you, true.
Get
that
used to it. Cocky Heat fan is back. The Sixers coming in tonight are a plus 3.2, which is 13th in the league. And actually, it shows you the separation in the league because that plus 3.2 is the last of the plus teams. The next is the Thunder, yep, which is minus 0.4. So there's been 13 teams that I think you can comfortably say have been good so far. And then there's some real mediocre, and then there's bad, right? So if you, yep, look at the teams that have been good, the Lakers were expected to be good. The Bucks were expected to be good. The Heat, we expected to be good. The Raptors, I think, you know, people thought they might slip more than they have, I guess, but you figured with Masai and that coaching staff that they'd figure out a way to be good. The Celtics we thought would be good. The Mavericks are a surprise. There's no, I mean, Luka is Luka, but they're a surprise. The Clippers we expected, they will be better as the season progresses. The Rockets we expected. I don't know, the Pacers are there at 9. Without Oladipo, they've held up pretty well. So, you know, maybe they get back in the mix here. You talk about 5 teams in the East. I thought if Indiana could survive the start and Oladipo comes back healthy, you put them
they've
in.
They've had an incredibly soft schedule.
Yes, that is true. That is true.
Yeah, they bounced back nicely, but they had a very easy start. Obviously, even though they don't have Victor, you know, they have played a bunch of soft teams early and have taken advantage of it.
That's true. Denver, we expected to be good. Phoenix, we did not expect to be good. It's funny.
Yeah,
Phoenix,
that's been a surprise.
That's been a surprise. I mean, 7-7 as we speak, but plus 4 net rating of the season. The Jazz, we expected to be good. And then the Sixers. And then, like I said, there's nobody else in the plus column. And there are some teams here in the negative. Maybe the Spurs would be one of them. Maybe Brooklyn would be another of them. Certainly Portland, although they're cursed with Hassan now, but certainly Portland was not expected to be where they are. I mean, those are the three that kind of really jump out to me. And I don't know that I expected and of course the Warriors, but I mean, they're sort of a case category of their own, and I don't know that I expected the Hawks to be quite this bad. I thought they'd be a little bit better than they are, but let's go to the Sixers then. And you talk about fit. When you look at the starting lineup on paper, it makes a lot of sense, right? I mean, you've put another big who's a versatile big next to Embiid who knows how to play. You mm-hmm. add a guy in, you have a guy who's a scorer in Tobias Harris to take some of the scoring burden off of Simmons. And you add a guy who we really like down here in Miami. I thought he had limited upside, but I really like this role for him in Philadelphia in Josh Richardson. I mean, it looks like a perfectly constructed starting lineup. You mentioned, and I think defensively they're going to be terrific. They have too many good defensive players not to be. But offensively, when you say it may take some time to work out, we saw that even with the big three Heat. It took them time to figure themselves out offensively, right? And they had Dwayne and LeBron and Chris Bosh. Mm-hmm. But how does this team figure it out offensively if Simmons is not going to be a shooter? Josh can be a little bit streaky. Where do you think they can get to as an offensive group?
Well, in 70 minutes together, they have 112 offensive rating and a 94 defensive rating. So, I mean, they've figured it out pretty well when they've been on the court. And the way, you know, they just haven't been on the court together much at all. And the way they've figured it out is by just bludgeoning teams with their size across the board. I mean, they're one of the biggest teams, really, in the history of the league. When you look at Josh Richardson as the only guy that's below 6'8 that's starting, and he's 6'6. Mm-hmm. So you go 6'8, 6'10, 6'10, 7'1, or whatever Embiid is. I mean, that's an enormous team. And if you go back to the opener, against the Celtics, that's really kind of the template for how they're going to play, I think, against the good teams. They just mauled Boston at both ends, used their size, wore the Celtics down with their defense, and wore them down by just bludgeoning them inside with their offense and getting a bunch of offensive rebounds and just kind of, you know, battering them into submission. And I think, you know, really, no matter who they play against in the playoffs, I think if they're going to win in advance, that's going to be the way they're doing it, by having a suffocating defense and by just kind of beating the hell out of the other team at the other end, kind of like, you know, like the Knicks and Heat almost back in the 90s. Like they're kind mm-hmm. of a throwback. They're kind of a throwback team to the way the game was played when Riley was in his prime coaching in Miami, really, than, you know, the pace and space era that everybody's trying to adapt to now.
Is their bench good enough, or are they going to need a couple of buyout guys?
I think that's really the question with them. When you are trying to decide how high you are on Philly, I think it comes down to how do you feel about their other players, right? Matisse Thybulle is a really interesting rookie, but on a team that has so little shooting and so much defense, he's kind of he kind of amplifies what they're good and bad at already. I think on most other teams, he would be a definite big rotation player, and I think he will be eventually with the Sixers. But again, that lack of shooting has made that fit kind of difficult. But they've got Mike Scott and James Ennis and Thybulle, and these guys are all big and long like their starters, but there's not the clear two or three guys coming off the bench that you feel really good about. There's not the Andre Iguodala. There's not the mm-hmm. Marcus Smart. There's not the, Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell, right? Like some of these other really good teams have guys coming off the bench. You say, all right, these guys are real weapons.
Or Goran Dragic, for that matter.
Right. Yeah. Goran Dragic is right. He certainly fits in that category the way he's bounced back and is playing this year, right? You look around the league and these teams that have proven quality players coming off the bench, it really kind of shifts things in their favor when the second units are in. Philly has obviously struggled when that main group is not on the floor, and that lack of depth is obviously a key reason why.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons that I find this matchup so interesting with the Heat, because I can see the Heat starting lineup, even the starting lineup they've currently constructed, which is playing so well, but I don't know if it's the permanent lineup. When Justice Winslow gets back and they have to decide, okay, if Justice is going to start, who comes out, Nunn or Robinson. But obviously Philadelphia is going to have a starting lineup advantage over pretty much any team in the league. Mm-hmm. But my question is, if the Heat are coming off with Dragic and Hero and the way Chris Silva's played, and, you know, then, I mean, they Derek Jones Jr., James Johnson haven't even been integrated in really any way at this point. I mean, Deion Waiters has been punished. I mean, they just have so many bodies that can help them, whereas I just don't see it with Philly. And so that's why a playoff series to me would be interesting, even though on paper the starting lineup is obviously going to look more in Philadelphia's favor, because I can see a lot of games where, yeah, the Heat, Dragic comes in, some of the bench guys come in, the Heat are down eight, and it's a tie game before you turn around. And I'm just curious to see how Brett Brown will stagger those minutes so that he makes sure that he doesn't leave the bench guys out there sort of unaccompanied for too long. You know, I mean, that would be, but look, there are always buyout guys. I mean, you mentioned Iguodala. Like, I mean, to me, Iguodala makes so much sense there. Like, I mean, how do they make that happen?
Well, it just would go, he's going to go, I would assume, to a team out west, probably one of the LA teams, I would imagine, before coming back to Philly. But it certainly would be a fun story if he decided to come back to the Sixers, where he obviously started his career. But, you know, look, one of the things about the way Brett Brown has always coached this team is that, you know, the way he staggers his lineups, he basically has two or three starters on the court all the time. Right. He has one of the more unique rotations in the league in terms of how, he usually brings Embiid in, three or four times and a half, and he kind of mixes and matches. So they'll, I think, be able to get around that. And if you go back to last year, mm-hmm. for all the other things that went on with Jimmy and everything else, when Philly had Embiid on the court, they were a dominant team. And when he was not on the court, they were a horrible team. And, mm-hmm. In game seven in Toronto, I think they were outscored by 12 points in the 3 minutes that he played, and they lost by two, right? So right. Now they have Al Horford to play those minutes. In theory, that's the biggest issue they had last year. And obviously losing Jimmy creates another issue, which is you don't know who they're necessarily going to give the ball to in the final 5 minutes of a playoff game.
Well, let's hit that. Let's hit that, because that's where I want to go with you next before we get to the Heat.
Sure.
We had Keith Pompey on before the season, and I asked him that question because, to me, that is the number one question with Philadelphia. Who closes?
Yep.
I mean, not going to be the same guy every night, but who's making the play for them to close?
No and question.
He said that they've identified Tobias Harris, that's who it has to be. I went back through some of Tobias's clutch numbers. They're not horrible, but it's never, you know, when he had some moments with Orlando and with the Clippers, but he's never been perceived as that. Is he their closer? And if he's their closer, how because look, Josh Richards is not a closer. I love that kid to death. Love him. But we saw him step out of bounds too many times here in Miami. He brain locks in those situations. I don't know why, because he's a smart kid, but he does. Who is Tobias Harris their closer?
Well, I would say that if you're looking at the Sixers, they committed $350 million this summer to Tobias Harris and Ben Simmons. And I think that's the answer, right? The answer is they have Tobias Harris, they have Ben Simmons, they have Joel Embiid, and it's going to be those three guys. And, you know, it's obviously difficult to run plays through your big late in games. Everybody knows that, right? So they're going to try to get the ball to Embiid. But if Embiid doesn't have the ball, they're going to need Simmons to step forward, to take steps forward and make plays. And they're going to need Tobias Harris to take steps forward and make plays in those minutes. I mean, there's just no other way around it. When you commit, you know, essentially a 5-year max to Tobias and what is a 5-year max extension to Ben Simmons, you know, Elton Brand told me back in July, we are betting on those two guys taking more steps. And, you know, that's really what this comes down to. Essentially, the Sixers decided they would rather have Al Horford and Josh Richardson than Jimmy Butler and J.J. Redick. And so they took apart the team they had last year, and this is the team they now have. And that was my immediate question. That's the story I wrote in July. Who, you know, this team a year ago came into the season, didn't have a closer, realized they needed one, went and got Jimmy, might have won the title very easily if that shot doesn't fall in by Kawhi at the end of Game 7. Now they go into the summer, they blow their team up again, and now they come into this season with, after all these moves, the same exact question is who is their guy in the final minutes of a game? And again, like, you make that kind of financial bets on those two players, you're counting on them getting it done. And if they don't get it done this year, that's probably going to be the first thing that people wonder about next summer is what do the Sixers do to try to make up for that if Indiana does, you know, wind up falling short and they don't, you know, make it to the finals or you know, have a deep run in the conference finals or something this year.
That's why I'm glad you mentioned J.J. Redick, because I feel like that's gotten forgotten. We're going to talk about Jimmy after the break, but I feel like that's gotten forgotten with all the Jimmy talk, is that they had one of the elite shooters of all time that they could trust. If he was open late in games, there was a damn good chance he was going to make that shot. And and again, I am a big Josh Richardson fan. I admire a lot of what he provides. I think I think he's a perfect role player fit on a good team. And I always thought that's what his role should be. And that's why, you know, the Heat tried to force him as a lead guy last year, in part so they could trade him, but in part to see if he could do it. And I think we got the answer on that. And maybe Josh makes some of those shots, but I trust J.J. Redick to make those shots more. And so I think that's, you know, we talk about the Jimmy comparison all the time, but J.J. Redick matters, man. And he also defends. Also, so it's not like he was a liability.
He was.
I know he slipped a little.
The issue isn't that he even slipped a little. It's that they didn't have anyone to guard point guards.
Right.
They would basically put Redick on point guards by default, and teams were getting just massive numbers against them last year. I mean, Kemba scored 60 against them last year.
That's true.
Was a whole series of point guards that scored 30, 35 points, 40 points against them last year. It was like 15 or 20 guys.
Yeah, he needs to be guarding more traditional too. And you're right. With the way that they were set up, he couldn't. Simmons couldn't do it.
That's right. And that's why, you know, they didn't want Jimmy to do it for obvious reasons. So, you know, that's why Richardson there is a big boost for them. Because
no, he's terrific in that role. Like, it's fascinating to me that there's this little pet peeve that Heat fans have. Which is that guys only seem to get attention when they leave Miami these days. So it's like Josh. It's funny because Hassan in a negative way.
No offense to the Heat fans,
but they've been irrelevant for a couple.
That's
of years.
Right. When
right. No. Well,
not,
that's
when
that's
teams
true.
Are not making when teams are not making the playoffs or making the playoffs and losing in a 5-game series in the first round.
Right.
You know, that's that's what happens. It's why Kemba Walker has flown under the radar in Charlotte basically for the past 8 years, and now he's in Boston, and he's, you know, his stars, right, his, right, his star, right, is quickly rising back up again because he's in a big market playing on a really good team as opposed to an irrelevant team that's floating between 35 and 40 wins. Like, it's not, yeah, it's not because the Heat are not a glamour team that people aren't paying attention. They're not paying attention because they're not very good.
No, that is true. And it's funny now that people are paying attention to Hassan in a real way in Portland, they're kind of realizing what Heat fans realize. But also in Philadelphia, it is kind of a joke among Heat fans because Josh Richardson was kind of our little secret here for 3 years. And then all of a sudden he's gone to Philly and he's, oh my God, look at this guy. And we're like, well, no, he's always been that. That's what he is. But we also know what his limitations are. And, you know, and Philly fans are going to get the good, which is that he's a dogged defender. He's a great kid. He can make an open shot. But he's not a ball handler, and he's not a guy you go to down the stretch of games. It's just, I mean, there's enough of a track record to see that. We're going to get into Jimmy here in a second. But first, want to talk about another great sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network, and that is Dutch Valley Farms. What's Dutch Valley Farms? For starter, they're not your average cannabis grow farm. They've got deep roots in the 305. Homegrown group of doctors, CPAs, and Silicon Valley professionals have taken their talents from the 305 to the 503 to make you the finest flower out there. How does Miami find its way all the way out in Oregon? Simple. A team with a shared belief in cannabis research and erasing the stigma behind the bud. Today, the Dutch Valley Farms crew is bringing together old school growing practices with new school tech to deliver a consistently clean, high quality experience you can feel good about. The proof is in the plant. Do you want more information? Visit DutchVF.com or follow them on Instagram at Dutch Valley Farms. All right. We saved the best for last year. And I'm gonna present this to Heat fans because, I mean, you and I have been friends for years. We've talked about the Heat in all kinds of different contexts over the years. When you have thought they were trash, you have said that they are trash. and you and I have agreed on that the past couple of years because I hated the Heat roster the last two seasons. I mean, I called it the Dwayne squirrel. It was like, oh, we just signed all these average players to four-year deals. Dwayne, look at Dwayne. And that, you know, that basically
it is truly crazy that the one time the Heat deviated from their plan in the past 25 years was such a devastating time to do it. Like, exactly. It literally could not have been a worse time for them to commit to a bunch of average players that for long-term deals than they did the summer of 2017. I mean,
sabotaged them the next
4 years.
16.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor and the Five Reasons Sports Network. We know that the Miami Heat, they're typically pretty careful with their money. They don't overpay for players, kind of keep it in the range. But there have been mistakes. Think back to Hassan Whiteside, James Johnson, Dion Waiters, to name a few. Well, you don't want to make a mistake with your hard-earned cash. You don't want to get a service or a product that's overpriced or underperforms. That's why we recommend Harry's. Harry's razors, I use them. Why do I use them? Because, well, I can't really grow a beard. It takes me forever. It looks ridiculous. So I want to make sure that it's shaved properly. So I look somewhat presentable when I'm going to the Heat games. You can check out Harry's as well. German engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. Customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for the other big brands. And you can get a 5-blade razor, a weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/5. That's right. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/5. Again, that's harrys.com/5 for a $3 trial set.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
and 17, right? The Whiteside, Tyler.
The Whiteside, Deion, the Whites, I mean, right. The Whiteside thing is, I get that to a degree. Yeah. I'm certainly not going to defend Hassan, but like, I get why they did that at the time. But like, and the Bosch thing was unexpected, obviously. But
yes,
you go back to 2017 and, you know, signing Olynyk and Waiters and, you know, James Johnson and you know, like you said, the Tyler Johnson match, which never made sense to me from the beginning. I mean, all of it just – it was a very bizarre shift from a team that for so long had been focused on getting star players. And it's – you know, when Heat fans get frustrated about people not talking about their players, well, those two summers are why no one was talking about their team. So –
well, you know, or no one was. Right. Well, exactly. And you mentioned it's not just stars, but it's stars and developmental players, right? And so my frustration.
Well, I meant saving the flexibility to get stars and trusting their development program to create more role players, which
correct.
Is what
they've always
done.
Thank you. You just said it better than right. Okay. So exactly. And because you can find a Rodney Magruder, or you can find a Tyler Johnson, or you can find now a Chris Silva, or Kendrick Nunn, or Duncan Robinson with 9 threes. Why are you paying Deion Waiters like a borderline star, or James Johnson like somebody who has had 10 years like the 3 months he had? It never made any sense. And I mean, you know, Riley has. I mean, look, they've acknowledged it hasn't made any sense because Whiteside is in Portland, which was brilliant. Tyler Johnson is in Phoenix, which only cost them really having to stretch Ryan Anderson, which cost something, but it's not as big a deal as the Tyler thing was. And then, you know, and obviously,
well, let's be honest. I mean, Tyler's in Phoenix because they wanted to get out of the tax.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But it was create flexibility for tax and cap purposes. Right. But, you know, you ultimately had to do the Ryan Anderson thing. But then, you know, and then obviously, you know, Deion Waiters and James Johnson. I mean, James Johnson's active and not playing. And Deion Waiters is up at Syracuse right now. So, I mean, they've cleaned all that out. And now they've got basically five guys contributing for like a total of $7 million. And you're looking at what they just paid. But Tim, that was my frustration as someone who's covered, and Heat fans are tired of me talking about this, but my frustration as someone who's covered them since 1996 is that they are them and the Spurs, and I think the Raptors are in that category now, are the best organizations at developing players. And so there was absolutely no reason. If the Heat were a bad organization, then what they did made sense. If the Heat were not in a desirable market, then what they did makes sense. If the Heat didn't have a track record of championships, then what the Heat did makes sense. But since none of those things were true, it never made any sense. They acted like the Dolphins, and they get upset when I said it. I mean, they just did it. So, and now the Dolphins have gone the other direction, but they acted like the Dolphins. And now they're back, and I think they've had a brilliant last year in every conceivable way. So let's go through them. Outsider's perspective, you thought they'd be top five in the East. I will tell you, a lot of national guys did not. When I talked to a lot of national guys, they had the Heat in kind of – and even we had Bobby Marks on, and Bobby said – I had them kind of in the third tier in the East. Like, so Milwaukee, Philadelphia, and then like Boston, Indiana, Toronto, and then Miami was going to be somewhere there. I don't know if he was thinking Orlando, Detroit, but somewhere beneath that. But you had them a little bit higher. Even with that, and we'll get to Jimmy next, but even with that, are you surprised at how well it's gone at the start?
Yes and no. I mean, I'm a little cautious to proclaim too much about the way they're playing right now. Like, I'm just looking at it, and the current starting lineup with Robinson and Nunn in there. Well, I don't know if it's the current starting lineup, but with Robinson, Nunn, and you know, Jimmy, Myers, Leonard, and Bam Adebayo is like a plus 23 net rating. Like, that's
over 99 minutes, right?
Yeah, like that's probably, I feel confident saying, not going to last all season. You know, and some of these hot starts for some of these guys, I think, are going to start to go back the other way. Like, you look at, like, Nunn has been awesome and a huge surprise, but you look at some of his overall shooting numbers, and I don't really anticipate that, you know, things are going to quite stay on the same you know, the same track. I mean, he's, you know, shooting 48% from two, or not 40% from two, 48 for the field and 38 from three. If he keeps that up all year, that's great. I expect that to probably drop some, you know, and across the board, that's probably going to happen some. All that being said, you know, I was high on them because I thought that Bam was going to be the league's most improved player because he was going to get to play a lot. He's been awesome. I thought Jimmy would be a really nice fit, and he has. And I thought that Eric Spoelstra, who's one of the best coaches in the league, would be able to have those guys and then manufacture enough other stuff for them to be, you know, one of the, you know, be up there in that top four or five in the East if Jimmy's healthy and if Bam was as good as I thought. And that really is where things have played out pretty well for them. You know, I know Justice has been out and like they've been moving around some of these other guys, but like, you know, you mentioned how well Goran's been playing. You know, are we sure that Goran's going to be healthy all year? Mm-hmm. Like if he leaves the lineup and isn't, you know, playing at the level he has been, you know, that's a pretty big hit to them, because when he's come in and given them offense off the bench, that's really helped a lot. Mm-hmm. Myers Leonard right now is playing, you know, 20 minutes a game and shooting 60% from three.
You don't think that'll hold?
I have a feeling that's probably not going to hold up, right?
You don't believe in the hammer? You don't believe in the hammer?
It's him. Well, look, and like, again, like Spo has done a great job of kind of maximizing what he's got, but starting Myers Leonard against good teams, like in a playoff series, say, right, it's not going to work. So, like, there are things about this team that I think have our cause for concern. Like, I'm not sure. Like, again, I think Nunn is more of a bench scorer than a starting guard. And some of these other pieces that they have. With all that being said, the Heat are going to be relevant. The Heat are going to be good. And again, if Jimmy and Bam are healthy, mm-hmm. they're going to be one of the top four or five teams in the East. I would say probably towards the back end of that. I would guess they probably finish fourth or fifth. But they'll be one of the top four or five teams. They'll be in at least an interesting first round series. They'll be a relevant team. And they've set themselves up so as they start to move into these next couple of years, specifically into 2021, when all these bad contracts start to come off the books, they'll be looked at again as a team that people want to go play for. And really what matters.
Well, just coincidentally, Tim, when a certain guy who is the only guy in the league with the same agent as Bam Adebayo may get frustrated by not winning a championship in Milwaukee. So there is a long-term plan here that if you don't have to look that closely at it to kind of figure out where that might be going. Look, I'm with you on a lot of that. I think some of this is not sustainable, but I do think the thing that has been so encouraging about the Heat early was a few things. One is they have so many parts that Eric can use that he can survive a guy like Justice being out, or can survive a guy like Nunn going through a three or four game stretch where he doesn't play well, because there's other places he can go. I agree with you about Goran. I have said for the last 3 years this is the perfect role for Goran, and I'm glad he accepted it, and I think he'll end up finishing his career here as a result of it. But you're right. I mean, they were kind of counting on, you know, potentially if Dion could get his head on straight, that Dion would be the protection for Goran there, and obviously they don't have that. But they do have enough bodies that I think they make work. The other thing that's so encouraging is they love playing together. And I just wonder, I'm with you on a team like Philadelphia, that if they can get the parts right. But the parts, I mean, there's a lot of egos there, right? And so, you know, you always, I think Philly is perfectly set up for a playoff series, particularly if they add two shooters as buyout guys or make a trade. But I wonder, you know, are they going to clash at times? Because that's always the way the teams, you know, go through that. Whereas I don't see this Heat team clashing. There seems to be, you know, a lot of, you know, shared sacrifice. And then there's a clear leader to the whole thing. And so let's get into the clear leader.
Well, and just before we talk about Jimmy, part of the reason they're probably not going to clash is they're not super talented, right? And like when you get to the playoffs, that's where that becomes an issue, right? Mm-hmm. Like, The Heat have a perfect structure because they have one clear all-star, one guy mm-hmm. who could be an all-star, and then yes. they have a bunch of nice players. Mm-hmm. Right? And like that delineation does lead to a locker room that's very set up and makes a lot of sense and fits and has good chemistry on and off. But when you get to the playoffs and you are going up against teams with a lot of really good players mm-hmm. and more top-end talent, and you have guys that are playing, you know, you have the Sixers who could play all five of those guys 42 minutes a game, right? All of a sudden, then the lack of talent elsewhere becomes a much smaller issue than during the regular season when you can roll out, you know, 8, 9, 10 guys for 20 minutes a game, and it's not a big deal.
Right, and you're right. And the Myers-Leonard point's a good point. There are certain guys that you can play in the regular season.
Well, Duncan Robinson might be one of those guys, too. Like, he's been awesome, but again, like in a playoff series, he's probably going to be a guy you're going to target on defense. Tyler Hero is a rookie who, you're as good as he's been, he's been really good. That's a guy you're going to target on defense. You're going to target Kendrick Nunn on defense. Like they have some guys that are, but again, this is the thing. Like none of this means that, like, I think the Heat are bad either.
No. I get it.
It's like, this is to me a wildly successful season. If they're a top five team, and they, even if they are in a 4-5 matchup with Boston or Toronto or Philly or Milwaukee, and they lose in the first round, like, the fact that the Heat are back in the mix in the East, have some juice again, have some of these young guys that are interesting, and have kind of that it factor back going into that summer of 2021, you know, to do this year, do this again next year, and then put yourself in a position to go get one of these many star players that's going to be available that summer. Like, that's what this is all about, right? That's what the Heat needed to do. So that's why, to me, whatever else happens, if they continue on this trajectory and they're just one of those top five teams in the East, I think this is a really big year, big win of a year for them.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have a ton of guys that are between 23 and 26 years old at that stage. Yep. Not in Hero's case, not even.
Yeah,
it'll be 21, and they're going to have at that point, I think, a elite or borderline elite center who
I'm a huge Bam fan.
Me too. Awesome. And who and here the best thing about him is he loves to share the ball and he just does the right things. Like if you're a star. Like I said, I'm not saying it's going to be him, but they're building a team for someone like Giannis to love. Like, if you're a star and you can come down and play with a guy in Jimmy who plays defense, and I know there's, and we're going to talk in this now, but you know, that there's some issues with Jimmy, you know, but, you know, a guy who does some of the things on the court that Jimmy does and as unselfish as Jimmy has been this year with the career high in assists, and then you have a center averaging 5 assists, you know, that's a team you may take a hard look at. And then you got some shooters, young shooters. You can see what they're doing. Let's get into Jimmy. I want to see if you can provide some clarity to this, because I tried even again this morning and I still can't get clarity. Was Jimmy, in your reporting, ever offered a 5-year max by Philly? Because we've had 4 different people on the podcast and I've gotten 4 different answers about what was offered, when it was offered, how many years, how much money. Because I think that matters as Jimmy goes back there and the way he's perceived. Because if he wasn't offered the 5-year max, I don't know what Philadelphia fans are so upset about.
I don't think Philadelphia fans are really all that upset, frankly.
I don't know, man. I mean, well, I maybe you're not getting it.
I don't listen to fans on Twitter, but I think he'll get a nice ovation tomorrow. I'd honestly be surprised if he gets, you know, if he gets booed or like it's super nasty. I don't really anticipate that. He had a nice run here. They had a great season last year. They, you know, like I said, if that shot bounces off instead of bouncing in, I think they probably win the NBA Finals last year. So, I don't think, like I said, I honestly will be surprised if it's super nasty tomorrow. I mean, I really will be.
But you don't think after and I want to get to the 5-year max here.
Yeah.
But you don't think after some of the things he has said, which have not been negative about Philadelphia at all. Actually, he hasn't done that. They've been very positive about Miami.
If Jimmy had left and like the team was way worse, right, or something, or like, you know, they hadn't been able to turn him into Josh Richardson. I mean, he left and they got Josh Richardson for him and they got Al Horford. Like, it's not like the team left and they're no longer a championship contender. Right. So I don't really anticipate anybody here. I don't think tomorrow there's going to be like, oh man, the hell with Jimmy going on in Philly at the Wells Fargo Center. Like, I don't think they're going to be screaming at him or telling him he's terrible or anything. I mean, the guys on the team all get along with him still, and he's obviously buddies with Embiid. Like, I honestly will be surprised if it's, you know, I'm not saying they're going to, like, it's going to be like Mike Conley back in Memphis or anything, but I also don't think it's going to be, I certainly don't think it's going to be like Kyrie next week in Boston, right, or Anthony Davis in New Orleans. I mean, there was a lot more negativity coming out of those. I think, you know, the Sixers decided to go in another direction, and that's that. I mean, as far as whether he got offered a 5-year max or not, it probably depends on who you ask, yeah, right, to your point. And I don't think it really matters in the end. Like, Jimmy was always interested in going to Miami well before he got traded to the Sixers last year. And I think it worked out well for him. I think it worked out well for the Sixers. And I think in the end, that's really all that matters, is that it was, you know, that was – that series of transactions was the rare kind of win-win for everybody involved this summer, which you don't really see in free agency. To have him choose to go play in Miami, for the Sixers to get a good player back, for that to help them have the flexibility to sign Horford, the fact all that kind of came together as it did, I think both sides walked away from it feeling really good about the way it worked out.
What's your perception of if you said to Philadelphia fans right now, based on what we know now, based on where the teams are and may be going, based on what the contracts will look like long term? And again, Josh Richardson's due an extension, so you know that's another thing to monitor here in a couple of years. But if you were just to say to a Sixer fan, right now, I would take Jimmy Butler on this team. Let's throw Redick out because he's not part of this transaction. But I would take Jimmy Butler on this team, or I would take Josh Richardson and Al Horford. What do you think the average Sixer fan would say?
I don't think there's any question that Philly got better by making that deal. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, and that's not a criticism of Jimmy at all. It's just that I'd rather have those two guys than Jimmy, mm-hmm. right? Like, those are two really good players as opposed to one really good or great player, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they have five guys. If they had Jimmy, yes, they'd have a closer. They'd also have a huge hole somewhere that they'd have to fill. They wouldn't have probably the point guard defender that they have now, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you have to extrapolate a lot of other things out. But look, like I said, that's why I think it was a win-win for everybody.
Right.
But Miami needed a star, right? They needed to be relevant again after, you know, having this kind of team of average guys that was winning 38 games, with Richardson as its best player. And, they get Jimmy. He accomplishes that goal for them. The team is better. And the Sixers needed to augment their team a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I think it made them better. So I really do think it worked out well for both sides, where I think both sides came out of it better, even though, like I said earlier, it did kind of ironically leave Philly having to try to answer the same question this going into this mm-hmm. season that they were trying to answer going into last season.
All right, final thing here with Tim Bontemps. You can follow him on Twitter at Tim Bontemps. Obviously, follow his work at ESPN.com and on ESPN. Jimmy, I asked Jimmy the question the other day, why are you smiling all the time? And he greeted it with a huge smile. I have not noticed a bad day from him so far. The organization is like head over heels with him. It's like Eric Spoelstra found his Alonzo Mourning. They're head over heels with him in a way that it's different than LeBron. I mean, he's not the player LeBron is, but he's doing some of the things LeBron used to do, like the 7+ assists and setting other guys up. I mean, he's not doing the takeover stuff LeBron did.
Right.
But personality wise, has seemed like a perfect fit. Like, and I think Dwayne knew that, and that's one of the reasons Dwayne steered him here. But obviously you talk to a lot of people around the league, and I do too. And I still get the sense from some people that like, just wait. Okay. He's happy now. Just wait. Something always goes wrong. I don't necessarily believe that's going to happen. Honestly, I've talked to a lot of people around him the past week who they just talk about this organization in a different way than this is better. You know, the structure is great for Jimmy, everything. Okay. But from your perspective, you're on the outside here a little bit. Do you expect this to last? Do people around the league expect this to last? Or are they just waiting for a shoe to drop where things go bad like they did in Minnesota and to a certain degree at the end in Chicago?
I certainly wouldn't say that it's definitely going to go bad. I do think it's a good fit of personality and culture. I do think that Jimmy being kind of the lone star on the team is the kind of the perfect situation for him, right? He sought that out. He wanted to have his own team. He's got his own team. He's very happy having his own team. Like I said, he wanted to be in Miami before, right? So he got to where he wanted to go. He's happy with it. I'm not necessarily going to sit here and say that this is going to go sideways. Like I said before, I do think that it's very easy for everyone to be happy when you're 10-3 and when the Heat inevitably lose a few games, maybe things won't be quite so happy. But that's also kind of normal. But yeah, look, I think, like I said, I think this has gone about as well as I expected it to. set aside the wins and losses. I thought, getting rid of Whiteside and being able to play Bam a lot and having Jimmy and Bam as the anchors of the team with a bunch of solid players around him and a really good coach was a recipe for the Heat to be really good and be a team that could be a factor in the East. And that's how it's played out. And if he, you know, if Jimmy could stay healthy, which I think is probably the bigger issue for me long-term, can his knee hold up? Will his body hold up? You know, he's always played, he's played a lot of minutes. He plays hard. You know, is that, you know, he's into his 30s now. Like, and, you know, as long as they stay healthy and, you know, Jimmy is able to kind of keep doing his thing and Bam continues to grow like he has, I think things are going to look just fine.
All right. Follow him at Tim Bontemps. I want to tell you before we go about another great sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network. That's the Seltzer Mayberg Law Firm. They handle everything from immigration to personal injury to your run-of-the-mill traffic ticket that you want off your hands. You can find them at onecalllegal.com. That's onecalllegal.com. The Seltzer Mayberg Law Firm handle cases from all over the state, and they've got somebody on that website 24 hours a day. Tim, thank you for doing it. Appreciate it.
Anytime, Ethan. Thanks for having me, bud.
Save big money now on new siding from LP SmartSide at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP SmartSide today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.